Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. What happens to us when we get older? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we make sense out of the senseless? How do we deal with a loved one that's becoming more frail, aging, having more difficulty with just the general activities of life? How do we deal with all of that stuff? How do we make wise decisions? Good morning. Glad to have you with us. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years on KFBK and KSDE. So glad to have you here. Stuff to talk about, stuff to get involved in, stuff to try to make sense out of, all the things that happen to us in life. What happens when we're no longer independent? Who's going to take care of us? How are we going to pay for it? All of the things I've been talking about here for 18 years. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want an attorney, if you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably that one that knows what they're doing. And I know some of those. I also know some of the other ones. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. What else? I'm a notary. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It is my opinion, my editorial opinion only. And I think I've said everything I need to say. If I forgot something, I apologize. Consider it said. Because there's someone somewhere with a rule that says I have to say stuff. And I can tell you for a fact there are people that listen to this show waiting for me to make a mistake. So we're glad to have you with us. This is going to be kind of an eclectic show. And I'm going to talk about lots of different stuff. Some of it really interesting, I hope. Some of it kind of just catching you up on current affairs when it comes to the issues of aging. Remember, you can get a hold of me in lots of ways, and you can get information in lots of ways. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, ASSETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. You can all, and when you go to my website, you'll see my phone number there. You'll see my archived radio shows. You'll see my archived podcasts. Don't forget, every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on some subject. It just depends on what's current. I try to do it something that I've either had a client in my office or somebody call me or some news item or some new regulation or something that is current. So you can listen to my podcasts. They're also archived. You can send me an email. You can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. I have workshops every month. And you should look at my webpage and you can sign up there and I'll mail you tickets or you can call in and make a reservation for one of my workshops. So lots of ways to contact me. And of course, the simplest way is just call me. My phone number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. One more time, 800-999-8007. You can get a hold of me that way, or you can go to my website and email me if you have questions. If you ever have a topic that you want discussed on this show, email me and tell me what you'd like to talk about as it relates to elder care or long-term care, whatever it is. And if I can do it, and if I can't, I'll try to get an expert on that can, and we'll talk about it. Okay, there's so many places. Where do I want to start? Oh, let me start with this. I have a whole pile of things here that I collect, and I've been trying to clean it out over the last couple weeks. So let me, well, don't go away. I gotta go find it here. I know it's here in my pile somewhere. I have it. I'm trying to find it. I have the new impoverishment figures for next year. And I thought I had it right here on top. That shows you how organized I am, but I don't. Okay, let me look at it. Let me put everything there. So you hear the rustling of papers. Because I want to read this to you. These are the new federal impoverishment numbers for next year. I want to get those for you. And I thought I had it right here. In fact, I know I had it right here, and all of a sudden, I can't find it. So I don't know what I did with it, but I'll find it in a minute. Oh, here it is. I found it. So next year, the SSI federal benefit rate. That means if your income is this amount or less, you can get what's called SSI, which is Supplemental Security Income. It pays a little extra on top of your Social Security. The nice thing about SSI is it comes with Medi-Cal. So for next year, if you're single and your income is $735 a year or less, you can apply for SSI, which is Supplemental Security Income, and you can get a little bit more money. If you're married and your income is less than $1,103 a month, you can apply for SSI and get some extra monthly income. Now, there are asset limits and some other things, but it can be a very important benefit for people who are low income. A couple hundred extra dollars a month for some people makes a really, 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 really big deal. I think Social Security is going up 1.5%. If you're married and you go into a nursing home, one of the spouses goes into a nursing home, the spouse at home next year will be allowed to keep at least $120,900. Notice I said at least. It could be more than that. You also will be able in California to keep a home with equity of under $840,000. So in most cases, your home doesn't count if you wind up in a nursing home needing Medi-Cal. If you're married and one of you goes into a nursing home, spouse at home will be allowed to keep a minimum of $3,022.50. So those are some of the new numbers for next year. They're called Federal SSI and Spousal Impoverishment Standards. Doesn't that sound really, really good? I think that sounds really good. Here's the numbers so that you're not impoverished. I love that. I mean, only the government would come up with something like that. So I thought I would give that to you. I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about VA. I told you we're going to talk about lots of different things. I want to talk about, here it is, it's a newspaper article. In the second half hour, I want to talk about some of my kind of outrage of the week, which is something, two things at the VA. But this is from the Wall Street Journal. And I haven't gotten to it. I've had it for a long time, but I haven't been able to get to it. From the Saturday, Sunday, December 3rd, 4th issue on page C as in cat 3. So you could probably go Google this. And the title of the article, and I want you to listen to this one carefully, because I've been talking about this for years. And that the doling out of care. And if you think I'm making this stuff up, you need to go read this article. So the title of the article is The Business of Better End-of-Life Care. The Business of Better End-of-Life Care. Now, I'm not going to read all this article to you, but I'm going to read some of it to you. And I want you to listen to this. Again, this is from the Wall Street Journal, the Saturday-Sunday edition, December 3rd, 4th, on page C, as in cat, 3. Healthcare experts often, I'm reading from the article, healthcare experts often lament that one quarter of all Medicare spending, $150 billion annually, goes to treating patients in their last year of life. But identifying those patients in advance and cutting back on futile care has been difficult. Can an algorithm help? You know, I've talked for a long time ago about the lottery of care, about managed care, about deciding who gets what. Pardon me, deciding winners and losers in healthcare. And I'm not saying this is a bad idea. It's not my place to do that. But I want you to listen to where we've kind of come. A startup called Aspire Health says that it can predict which patients are likely to die in the next year and reduce their medical bills substantially by offering them palliative care at home, keeping them comfortable while avoiding costly ER visits and hospital stays. And you say, Bob, what's wrong with that? That seems like a good idea. Remember what happens when government gets a hold of a voluntary thing and makes a rule out of it. For instance, you have to buy health insurance. You have to have a driver's license. You have to register your car. You have to pay taxes. You have to you can only use certain light bulbs. You can only use certain toilets. You can only whatever. So remember what happens once the government controls an idea. I'm not anti-government. I want you to listen to this in the larger context of an aging population with Medicare gonna go, it's so far underwater, I don't know how it recovers. With Medi-Cal, Medicaid so far, I'm going to read you another article later on about the $20 billion a year problem that California will not now have with Medi-Cal. So just listen to it. We can tell, I'm reading from the article, we can tell which patients will die in 1 week, 6 weeks, or 1 year, says former Senate Majority Leader William Frist, a transplant surgeon who co-founded Aspire. We can say to health plans, listen to this, we can say to health plans, who's this we? We can say to health plans, we can how much are these patients costing you? We can care for them for less and have higher patient satisfaction rates too. And again, on the face of it, that sounds like a good idea. But what they're talking about here is voluntary. What if it were mandatory? What if it were made mandatory because of an algorithm that you forego health care and you go on hospice or palliative care? Not saying it's a bad idea, folks. There's this thing I'm a big fan of called the law of unintended consequences. And I am a big fan and a big believer in the law of unintended consequence. So, for instance, in California, starting next year, we will now have a cow flatulence tax. I'm not making this up. If you think I'm making it up, Google, spend a little time and research it. They're going to tax the flatulence and the waste on cows, on dairy cows and cows in California. No, I'm not making that up. How many of you even knew about that? Okay, so the law of unintended consequences, well, that sounds like a good idea because it will reduce methane, which will lower the world temperature, which will make everything good again. But what's the unintended consequence of doing that? Well, it's going to cost dairy farmers a lot more money to do that. Which means what? Come on. The unintended consequence is that the price of milk and anything made with milk will go up. Or dairy farmers will lose sales to dairy farmers in other states who don't have a cow flatulence tax. That's the law of unintended consequence. On the face of it, the rule sounds good. So on the face of it, gosh, if we could say to health plans, how much are these patients costing you? We can care for them for less and have higher patient satisfaction. That sounds good. But what if it wasn't voluntary? What if it was mandatory? The Nashville-based company, I continue to read from the article. Again, the article is called The Business of Better End-of-Life Care, The Wall Street Journal, page C3, the December 3rd, 4th edition. I'm reading. The Nashville-based company, which recently won $32 million in funding from GV Ventures, a venture capital firm, has managed the care of more than 20,000 Medicare Advantage patients in 19 states in exchange for a monthly fee. It estimates that it can save health plans $8,000 to $12,000 per patient. Palliative care focuses on easing symptoms such as pain and shortness of breath that are often overlooked among aggressive efforts to save seriously ill patients. Unlike hospice, patients receiving palliative care aren't required to forego potentially curative treatments like chemotherapy, but many do, especially if the regimens are unpleasant and unlikely to buy much time. Hospitals that offer in-house palliative care programs find that they save an average of $7,000 per patient, according to the National Palliative Care Research Center. Nothing wrong with this so far, except it's going to be decided in this example by a mathematical algorithm. So they'll plug in your health care, they'll plug in your diseases, they'll plug in your meds, they'll plug in your age into a computer, and out will spit out your expected life expectancy. All of this is really good, folks. It's not necessarily bad. I'm trying to make you aware of it. Because more and more and more, the care you get is not decided by the patient or the patient's doctor, but it's decided by the hospital or the healthcare plan or whoever it is. Well, I've talked about this many times. Most of your family doctors no longer have admitting privileges at hospitals. When you go into a hospital, you're managed by the hospitalist in the hospital, not by your family doctor. More and more and more is regulated by what the health plan or the hospital or the HMO or whoever it is will pay for and who they will pay for. It's one of my biggest arguments about, and I'm going to talk about this later, all this this baloney in California about how we have all these new insureds, almost all of whom are on Medi-Cal, and yet less than half the doctors in California take Medi-Cal. So people who are quote-unquote insured don't even have access to half the doctors in California because their plan doesn't allow it. Many palliative care experts say that the need for such services is so great that they have no problem with for-profit business model. A for-profit business model built around predicting patients' death as long as patients are not pressured to forego care. Well, remember the whole, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor? Remember that? How many of you remember that? How did that go? For people. How many of you remember the, if we do this, everybody's health insurance premiums will go down by $2,500 a year? How many of you remember that? How did that go? How's that working out for everybody? I'm bringing all of this to your mind, to your head, and to your attention, so that as this begins to unfold, because this is not going away, this company just got a $32 million grant from a venture capital firm who thinks there's money in this. Now, again, not saying it's a bad idea, but I remember all ideas are neutral. Their implementation can be either good or bad. Ideas are neutral. Their implementation and how that idea is used could be good or bad. So in and of itself, this is not a bad idea. But I think it demands watching. And I think those of you, as you get older and are going to need more and more care like all of us do, I think you have to pay attention to this kind of stuff. I wish I had... let me read you one more thing. To identify target patients, Aspire's algorithm sorts through medical claims, looking for diagnoses such as congestive heart failure or late-stage cancer, or for a pattern of frequent hospitalization. How about falls? How about Parkinson's? How about MS? How about, I mean, what else are they going to plug? Anyhow, its clinicians also consult with patients' primary care physicians to see if palliative care would be appropriate. Medical ethicist Arthur Kaplan of New York University says that a private entity snooping around in patients' records and consulting their doctors without prior consent seems like a violation of privacy. Aspire says that working with health plans to coordinate patient care is an approved use of such data under Medicare rules. I told you. I told you this was coming a long time ago. That more and more and more you're going to have government entities or outside entities or hospitals or healthcare plans determining what form of care you get and what form of care you don't get. I think you ought to really read the article. I think you ought to pay attention to it. I think it's important to understand, you know, Medicare is going broke, folks. Everybody talks about Social Security. Social Security is chicken feed compared to the looming Medicare shortfall. And we have what? An older and older population supported by the taxes of fewer and fewer people with jobs. That's what supports the Medicare system and the Social Security system, is people with jobs who pay taxes and pay into those pools. There is no Social Security Trust Fund, folks, contrary to what you think. So my point is, you need to pay attention, just like we've talked here about the difference between observation and admission. All of this is going to feed into what I've called for the last couple of years the long-term care industry. And it's a, you know, you remember Eisenhower warning about the military-industrial complex. Well, this is the long-term care complex, industrial complex. And it's huge. And it's gigantic. And it goes all the way from doctors to hospitals to long-term care facilities to long-term care insurance to government entities to Medicare to Medi-Cal to whatever. As I do this radio show, I have a client whose spouse is in the hospital, and the spouse, according to the records, can walk 150 feet. But the person who watched the spouse walk, the spouse was able to walk 10 feet out the door and 10 feet back. Therefore, because on the records it says the spouse could walk 150 feet, The hospital will not discharge the person under Medicare to a nursing home, and they're making that arbitrary decision. Not the patient, not the client, but a notation in a medical record. You need to pay attention to this stuff because it's going to impact long-term care. It's going to impact how you're taken care of, how your mom's taken care of, and your dad. It's why you should get in to see me. It's why you need to have a plan. It's why you come to the workshops so that you can be informed. And when this stuff begins to happen to you, you know what you can do, what you can't do, what'll pay, what won't pay, what documents work, what documents don't work, all of those kinds of things, which are crucially important as we get older and as our parents get older and as the people we love get older. During the break, give me a call. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, or call me at 800-999-8007. Sign up for my free newsletter online. Get in to see me. The consultation is free. Sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. But begin to prepare yourself so that you have a plan. At least spend as much time planning for long-term care as you would spend planning a vacation. Vacation lasts 2 weeks. Long-term care can last a decade or more. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me? How do I make wise decisions? How do I do anything? How do I deal with getting older and my children and my parents and my brother and my sister and the family fights and all the stuff that goes on when we're trying to deal with what happens to us as we all get older and older and older and older and older and older, and that kind of stuff. Well, glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad, you know, so many things to be thankful for at the end of the year. So much reflection on the year. So much coming next year. A lot of it not good. And I'm just glad to be here with you. Don't forget, you can get a hold of me through my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there and listen to my radio show, sign up for a workshop, sign up for my email newsletter, get information, or just call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And again, when you go to my website, you can listen to archived radio shows, my podcast. I do a live podcast every Wednesday, all that. I want to talk about the VA. I love vets. I have lots of friends that are vets. I am not a vet. I know lots of vets. I've known several people who, as clients who were in Corregidor, who spent the entire war in POW camp. I know people who are 100% service-connected disabled who are vets. I know all kinds of vets, not only as personal friends, but as clients and people that have come to see me. I love vets, and I don't like abuse of vets. And I'm going to talk about two abuses of vets, both of them by public agencies, by people who should be protecting vets. This is from CNN. This is from CNN dated 11/16/16. I'm sorry I haven't gotten to it before now, but this is from CNN 11/16/16. And it's called VA Executive Running Shameless Charity to Retire with Full Benefits. And I want to read this to you. A U.S. Department of Veterans, you know, anybody that's been around the VA for a while will tell you that how hard it is to deal with it, how difficult, how much they don't care about vets. The hospitals are pretty good, but the VA bureaucracy is a nightmare. And if anybody deserves the skids greased a little bit, it's vets. If you're going to err on the side of vets. Okay, a U.S. Department, again, this is CNN 11/16/16 is when I either opened the page up. It's from an article on November the 14th, and it's called VA Executive Running Shameless Charity to Retire with Full Benefits. A U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs executive who ran a shameless veterans charity will be allowed to retire with full government benefits. That means health care, pension, everything. Thomas Birch, a career lawyer for the Department of Veterans Affairs, will retire November 30th with a full pension and lifetime health care, a congressional source told CNN. Birch was in the process, again, I'm reading from an article. I have no way to independently verify this. I'm reading from a CNN release. Birch was in the process of being fired by the VA after an internal investigation and an investigation by the New York Attorney General's office found Birch personally benefiting from donations made to the National Vietnam Veterans Foundation. The foundation, which Birch ran, raised more than $29 million in 4 years, but spent, now listen to this, it's why, I'll tell you in a minute, because I have to take a deep breath. Tranquilo, Bob, tranquilo. Raised more than $29 million in 4 years, but spent less than 2% of that money on actual veterans' causes. I'm looking at a senior organization in Northern California that claims to be a nonprofit. Okay? I'm looking at two of them. Here's one. It's a nonprofit. This is why you always go to GuideStar.com. GuideStar.com. Or .org. It may be .org. I can't tell you which one it is. Let's see if it's GuideStar. I think it may be .org. But either one of those will get you there. And you can go to GuideStar and you can look up any nonprofit. So here's a nonprofit and you can look at their tax returns. So I'm reading from their tax returns. This is a senior organization that took in $33 million and paid $22 million in salaries. That's two-thirds of their money went to salaries, not to help seniors. Here's another one that took in just under $3 million. Just right around $2 million and paid themselves over $1 million in salary for supposedly taking care of seniors. Both of them in Northern California. Now, there are lots of good nonprofits around, folks, but when you're not sure, you can always go to Guides. And before you give money to any nonprofit, go pull up their report from GuideStar.org and look up their 990. That's the tax return. Just look at the front page of their 990, which is the tax return that they have to file every fiscal year with the IRS. Okay? And just look it up. You can look up their board members. You can look it up. So this one charity that I told you took in $30 million and paid $22 million, board orientation and response is not provided. CEO oversight, response not provided. Ethics and transparency, response not provided. Board composition, response not provided. Board performance, response not provided. So if you see a charity that's paying itself two-thirds in salaries and doesn't respond to any of those to GuideStar or to the IRS, then you have to ask yourself, so check out every charity, I don't care, or any nonprofit, and find out. So anyhow, this guy who works for the VA is running a $29 million foundation while he's working for the VA that spent less than 2% of the money on actual veteran causes. The New York Attorney General's office discovered most of the donated funds went to a professional fundraiser and that the fraction that was actually made that made it to the foundation was further reduced by a pattern of abuse, mismanagement, and misspending by the former president. I'll guarantee you some of it went to salaries and benefits and trips. In announcing a settlement which shut down the charity, New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman issued a statement saying, "There is nothing more shameless than exploiting military veterans in order to enrich oneself. The actions of this charity and its founder are appalling, Bob." But the guy still retired with full benefits. Schneiderman has accused Birch of using donated funds to spend lavishly on travel, a yearly salary, and other personal benefits. Oh, a salary while he's working for the VA. But he retired. Do you remember during all the hospital stuff, all the VA execs who still got bonuses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars? Do you remember that? How many of you remember that? I remember that. I'll bet you remember that. Here's my next VA semi-outrage. I'm reading. Now, this is actually, I got to be really careful here, folks. But this actually is on a county seal. This is from a county in California, and underneath it is a county seal. And this says that VA pension, now this is from a veterans office in a county, somewhere in California, on the county seal. Not going to tell you which county or who did this, but I have it in my hot little hands. VA pension is intended as assistance to low-income wartime veterans. That is a lie. There is no requirement. They're talking about something called aid in attendance, that you have to be low-income in order to get aid in attendance. So immediately there's a bias. What do you think the bias is here? Well, if you're not low income, you can't get it. That's why for years, how many of you have heard, well, if you have to be low income and you have to have no assets to get help at a nursing home for Medi-Cal? Oh yeah, where does it say that? Oh, really? Where does it say that? Well, so the very first sentence of this, and this is a handout given to vets in this county, VA pension is intended as assistance to low income, and I'll guarantee you no one on this county's board of supervisors, I'll bet you, knows about this. VA pension is intended as assistance to low income wartime veterans and the survivors of low income veterans. It is not intended as a means to preserve a veteran's or spouse's estate for the benefit of his or her heirs. Now, this is somebody's opinion. When I talk to accredited attorneys and accredited agents who handle VA benefits, they will tell you an entirely different story. There is nothing in the regulations that says that has anything to do with low income or has anything to do with your heirs. It has to do with a benefit to which a veteran either is or is not qualified. And it has nothing to do with income. It has nothing to do with low income. If it is found that a claimant or beneficiary has manipulated, what is that? Manipulate? That sounds like some kind of nefarious. Now, if you're a vet and you go to this county, and you go to this veteran's office and you get handed this, what are you going to think? Well, I got to get out of here because I don't want any part of this. This sounds terrible. If it is found that a claimant or beneficiary has manipulated the corpus of their estate to gain pension eligibility where they would otherwise not be eligible, what does manipulate mean? If you follow the rules, is that manipulating? For instance, under the VA rules, if you have a house currently, that house is exempt. Well, wait a minute. Am I manipulating the rules? If my house is in a revocable trust, is that a manipulation of the rules? What do you mean, manipulate the rules? I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Has manipulated the corpus of their estate? Well, if you put your house in a trust, it's not in your probate estate. It's in a trust. So does that mean you manipulated your house? If you put your bank account in your trust, did you manipulate your estate? Because according to this person, you did. So if you're a veteran going to this person to try to get answers about veterans benefits, the one place, just like this other guy who is running the phony nonprofit, only this is an actual county office on a county seal. I'm not going to tell you which county, folks, but it's in California. To be eligible, the secretary has the authority to deny or discontinue payment of pensions retroactively if it is found that they have been done with fraudulent intent. Well, if you talk to any attorney, they'll tell you that in order to commit fraud, you have to have had the intent to commit fraud up front. So basically, that means you lied about something and you lied about it on purpose. Otherwise, it's probably not fraud. I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving you legal advice. Now, again, if you're a vet and you go into this office and this is handed to you, and you're interested in getting aid in attendance to help pay for your care at home, or care in assisted living, or care in a boarding care, or care getting somebody to take care of you at home, and you've heard there's this thing called aid in attendance that might help you, and this is handed to you by a county employee, what are you going to think? What are you going to think? I'm going to continue reading from this. Intentionally misreporting the claimant's income. Notice intentionally. Misreporting. So does, I don't even know what that means, folks. If you're applying for a benefit to which you are entitled. Misreporting, intentionally misreporting the claimant's. And notice it says intentionally, not an accident. Not I wrote the wrong number down. But if you're some poor guy or the wife of a veteran that goes in, intentionally misreporting the claimant's income and or net worth to obtain pension eligibility is considered fraud, is grounds for the retroactive discontinuance of pension with attendant overpayment. The problem is VA has little or no authority to compel a claimant to provide evidence from a bank account or the like, such as the three-year look-back that SSA has for SSI claims. There is no look-back for SSI, folks. If you qualify for SSI, you automatically get VA gets Medi-Cal. By the way, that last payment is not in any, that last statement is not in any statute that was put on here. There is no three-year look-back for SSI claims. Such activities are both illegal and unethical and should be reported to the proper operating element of the VA. What activities? Applying for a... So in other words, if you're a vet and you walked into this veteran's office in this county and you were handed this, what would you probably do? Even if you qualified for the benefit or could qualify for the benefit by following the rules... If you were handed this, now this is somebody that's supposed to be helping vets. If you were handed this, what would you do? Would you go through with it? Would you then try to get VA benefits? Would you try to help your family? Would you try to do all of those kinds of things? Or would you run screaming from the building? This is the kind of stuff with the VA. I'm the first to tell you there's a lot of VA hanky-panky going out there with people doing stuff and writing stuff and selling stuff that they probably shouldn't ought to do. But I'm also telling you that there are some things, for instance, if I otherwise qualified for VA benefits, let's say I had nothing. I didn't have a house. I lived in a tent. But I had a little IRA from when I worked, and my little IRA had $50,000 in it. Well, there are things you can do with your IRA that will qualify you for that VA benefit so you can live a better life. According to this person, you shouldn't do that. According to this veteran's office, you shouldn't do that because it could be illegal or unethical to actually do something openly that's allowed by law with your IRA so you can protect it. So this person believes, instead of helping vets, that you should go spend your IRA and then come back to them when you have nothing, which is not a requirement of any regulation I've ever read, seen, or heard about. And this is the kind of stuff that happens to vets all the time. I just gave you two simple examples. But I could give you a lot more. A lot more. I told you the other day about I'm not even going to go there. I am a little bit. A commission being put together whose only job in life is to stop what's called pension poaching of veterans. Do you know what pension poaching is, folks? Remember the example I just gave you about the IRA? Well, you can actually do something with your IRA if you're a vet. Still keep your IRA, but protect it so that you can qualify for aid in attendance. Well, this organization wants to sue people that help vets do that. Because the organization that wants to sue people gets a commission from the attorneys for referring the case. Now, at the end of the day, if the veteran is not allowed to protect his IRA, then he's left with one of two choices. Cash the IRA in which case he has to do what? Pay all the taxes on the IRA, or not get the veteran's benefit. Now, you tell me which one is better for the veteran, or which one is better for this new organization that's being formed as a nonprofit, by the way, that will make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars off of the end result of which will be that veterans won't get their benefits, but attorneys will get a lot of money suing people who are trying to help veterans. And instead of being able to go to a county veterans office and get help, if you go to this county veterans office, you'll be told that what you're doing is illegal, fraudulent, and you've manipulated the corpus of your estate. Even though you are following the law, even though you are taking the advice of an attorney who may be an accredited veterans agent. How many people have been denied VA benefits? Remember, I've said for years, I can't even imagine how many people, how many seniors have been denied a Medi-Cal help with a nursing home because they were told they didn't qualify, when in fact they did. How many people have lost millions of dollars? People in California. How many vets have not received the benefits to which they're entitled because somebody told them that by applying for those benefits and protecting what they have, somehow they're disreputable people? And they hand this stuff out on a county seal. When it comes on a county seal, you tend to pay attention to that. If you get a letter from the IRS, you tend to pay attention to that, don't you? Because it's got like the government IRS thing on it. If somebody at a county office hands you something with the county seal in the background, and you're a vet, what are you going to do? You won't know enough to know that you would have qualified for those benefits. The dirty little secret in a lot of this stuff, folks, is government agencies love having programs so they can say that they have a program, but that you can't qualify for it. So yeah, do we have veterans program? Oh yeah, we have veterans. Do we have veterans office? Oh yeah, we have a veterans office. Do we have Medi-Cal? Oh yeah, we have Medi-Cal programs. We have Medi-Cal office, but you can't qualify for it because there's a rule somewhere that says you can't. And because you don't deal with the rules every day, and because it's an official telling you that, you believe that. As the year winds to an end, I'm still talking about the same things that I started talking about 25 years ago, 18 years ago here on the radio, which is you don't have to lose everything. You don't have to spend down. You don't have to do all the things that you've been told that you have to do. You just don't. I mean, I don't know how to say it in a better way. You just don't. You don't have to lose anything. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. So as we come to the end of the year, those of you that have been listening to me for a long time, those of you that are listening to this on my webpage who've been following me for a long time, and you still haven't done anything, then now's the time. 800-999-8007. Come sit down. The consultation is free. I always thought that was a pretty fair price. The consultation is free. Bring the family. Bring the kids. If you're a vet and I can't help you, I can get you to accredited agents and attorneys who can. There, nobody, and I mean nobody, I don't care who tells you at the county or who tells you at a veteran's office that you have to lose everything, that by following the rules, somehow you're a disreputable person or made to feel that way. I've been saying it for 25 years, and I'm going to, hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, I get to say it next year and the next year and the next year. Nobody needs to lose everything just because at the end of life, they had the wrong disease. If you have a heart attack and you go into intensive care in the hospital for a week and then you die, that hospital bill is picked up by Medicare. If you have dementia or you have a stroke or whatever, and you go into a nursing home for 3 years, you had the wrong disease, you're being told that nobody's going to help with that, and that is simply not true. If you've been told you need to stay at home or you could stay in assisted living, but that the VA won't help you, and you've been told that by some veterans office, don't believe it. 800-999-8007. There is help. And if I can't help you, I've been around this long enough to get you to people who can. But make a difference in your life and in your family's life. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or go to assetsandaging.com and get to one of my workshops. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you here next week, same time, same place, right here on Assets and Aging. Bye-bye.